människor.
Modiga människor.
Modiga människor. Ja, hello and welcome to Modiga människor. My name is Soja Zachariasdotter. And of course in English, modiga människor means brave people. Mm. Today I have with me Matthew Tehuki, live from New Zealand. We will mainly talk about the traditional dance, the Maori culture dance, Haka. Matthew also teaches in that, but he will tell us all about that later. But before we do that, I want to ask you to share this interview if you like it, of course. And you can also help the channel by giving a donation. All the information is below in the text. Now I want to introduce you, Matthew. So, kia ora, Matthew.
Kia ora, Soja.
Fantastic having you here. It's in the middle of the day there and very late here in Sweden. And I think it's almost a year ago since you were in this show. And I think it took like 12 hours before YouTube took down the video. And that's the fastest. So I hope they don't take it down this time because we mainly will speak about the Haka. For the public who don't know you, you're a full-time musician. That's mainly most what you do so many things. But please tell us what you do, Matthew.
Okay. O tuatahi nei rā te mea aroha ki a tātou, kei te whakarongo, ahakoa nōhia, ahakoa keihia. Ko Matthew Tehuki tēnei he uri no kahungunu me rangi tāne ki te wairarapa. So, greetings to everybody out there, no matter where you are. If you're in Sweden, special greetings to you. I'm sorry I don't know any of your language, so I can't even say hello in your language. How do I say hello in your language? Oh, hey. Thank you for making it so easy for me. Hey, so my name is Matthew, and I'm beaming in from Aotearoa, otherwise known as New Zealand. It's 11:30 over here, so thank you for staying up, sister, so that we could talk today. So I have a background in traditional performing arts, traditional Maori culture, and the haka is part of that. And I've been teaching the Maori language and Maori performing arts a lot of my life, and I also have a background in theatre and teaching. I loved working with kindergarten children in particular, but now I've been traveling the world and sharing my music and my haka workshop, which also involves quite often masculine feminine healing work as well. But mainly I do my best to avoid full-time employment so that I can be free to do what I need to do, which is travel around this country. At the moment I'm not traveling overseas at the moment, which is why it's really good that we can utilize modern day technology and put it to good use. So yeah, that's a bit about me. I'm a father of three. I'm a grandfather of two. I'm really passionate about sharing the Maori culture because I feel like the Maori culture is a collection of stories and customs from all over the planet, because our ancestors did navigate and travel around, and we ended up at the bottom of the world in this little country called Aotearoa, New Zealand. And I feel it's really important to share these gifts back, and through song, and especially the haka, which is our traditional power dance. I've been doing that for many years, and there's lots of beautiful benefits that we can get out of this work. So I'm really happy to share it with you, sister, and hopefully set up an opportunity to share with some of your listeners and your people over there.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. I mean, I also want people to know about haka, but we're also planning to have this online haka because there's a big interest in learning the haka. But before that, I just want to tell my passion in this, because 2006 I was more than heartbroken. I was in a very, very bad place in my life, and the haka came to me. I mean, the haka came to me in my dreams. It came to me everywhere, and it felt like the haka. I didn't have a relationship to the haka before, but it came to me from everywhere. So I actually bought a ticket to New Zealand. And I didn't even know what season it was. And I rented out my apartment and I bought an open ticket and I went there because I wanted to learn the haka. And since I am also in the 12-step fellowship, so it's very easy for me to meet people when I travel. My first evening, I met this woman, Laureen. She's a woman, and I actually ended up staying with her. So I got in contact with people who did the haka, but I actually didn't learn the haka. But one of my mission and one of the reasons why I have this love for New Zealand is because I don't want to sound theatrical, but it feels like I owe my life to New Zealand because I came there like a wreck and I actually found something. I went to the South Island, and one morning I woke up after being there for several weeks, and that was like, I still remember looking at the mountains, and I just felt, today I don't want to die. And after that, New Zealand moved into my heart.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
So this is the reason why I've been chasing you for months to do this interview.
Thank you for that backstory, and thank you for your perseverance to make sure that we can connect and we can ultimately bring haka to you and your community.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people who want to learn the haka. There's so much into that. But can you also tell us a little about the background and the haka and give us some, from your point of view?
Sure. So haka for me is the most powerful expression of the Māori culture, and we have lots of different ways to express ourselves, but for me haka's got the most power. Some people call it a war dance, some people call it a power dance. For me, to do a haka properly, you need to call on every bit of energy and power in your body to express how you're feeling. And we were traditionally haka before battle, before we went to war, to get into a state of power and to be fearless and to encourage the people around us to stand up and be brave. And we would go and we would haka to the enemy, and sometimes the haka was so powerful the enemy would leave because they're intimidated by it. But we were also haka to protest. We were haka when we're angry about something. We'll write a haka about it and perform it and express. But we will also use haka to honor people and to show how much we love them. Or if someone's really, let's say you came back to visit the Māori people that looked after you in the past and they really wanted to honor you, a haka would be the most powerful way of expressing their love and their gratitude and their appreciation of you. But it would have the same energy that we have when we're saying, we're gonna smash you. We got this sort of fire, but when we do it with love, it's like, this is how much we love you. We're not actually saying those words, but we're expressing it with our bodies. So it's been around for a long time. Men and women haka. I grew up at a time where we thought that the men would do the haka and the woman would swing their poi and be all sweet and pretty and not too fiery. But there was colonization. Traditionally, the woman would haka as well. So now men and women do haka. We just have subtle differences in the way that we do it so that we're not trying to be the same. we are equal, but we're not the same. And I think that's a really important part of being a human. I use haka as a daily practice, especially in the morning. Haka for me is a tool that I use to release tension, fear, stress, anger, anxiety. Whenever I feel yucky in my body, I will haka, and I'm releasing all the stuff out of my body. And then I feel clear and I feel peaceful. But I also use a haka as a way of building my power up. If I'm tired and I still have to show up for whatever I've got to do, I will do a haka to build my power up. Or if I need to have a conversation with someone that I might be a bit anxious about the conversation, or maybe they're trying to dominate me or there's conflict or something, I will do a haka so that when I go into that conversation, I've released the negative energy, but I'm also feeling very strong and centered and powerful, and no one's going to push me around because I've got my haka warrior energy alive inside me. So this is one of the reasons why I love haka, and this is why I've been teaching it for so long, because it's a tool that we can use in daily life. It's not just, oh, this is an interesting part of history, or I feel cool doing it. No, it's a tool that we can use to feel grounded and centered and powerful, and to express love and to express anger in a healthy way. So that's a bit of background about haka. And just one other thing I love to share is we have the sun god Tamanui Te Ra. So Ra is similar, you know, the same name as the Egyptian god. So that's one of our connections. We have the same sun god as the Egyptians. Tamanui Te Ra has two wives. In the winter, he hangs out with Hine Takurua. And in summer, he hangs out with his summer wife called Hine Raumati. And they have a child called Tane Rore. And if you look down the road on a hot day and you see the heat shimmering up from the road, those heat waves, that's Tane Rore. And that's where the witty witty comes from. And when we do our actions, we quite often have this going on. So Tane Rore is the god of haka. So this is where haka comes from. And you'll see this in our traditional performances. One more thing I want to add is we just had our national haka competitions here in Aotearoa, which is a big deal. We haven't had it for 4 years because of the COVID stuff that went on. And if you type on YouTube, New Zealand haka competitions, you might see some of the best, most recent haka that we've seen. Especially, I love watching women haka as well, because they're beautiful, but they're not trying to be pretty or sweet or likable. They're being fierce and strong and intimidating and beautiful at the same time. And it's a very beautiful balance.
Oh, you're fantastic. One of the things I'm thinking about is that I'm not sure. But I have this feeling that there is something with not only the Maori culture, but the culture from all native people. I have this feeling that they don't want us to have this energy between us. I don't know if I'm wrong or right, but...
What do you mean, don't want to have this energy between
us? Kind of like we talked about that, all the flooding in New Zealand, that you hardly hear it on your news. But I have this feeling that there is something with the native energy. And because, that's also why I want to do this on my channel. The haka, because I think it's an energy that we need to share between us. And what I mean is that I have this feeling that they kind of trying to cut the boundaries between us, not only the Maori people, but between all people.
Are you talking about indigenous cultures not wanting to share their wisdom? Is that what you're
referring to? No. I think it's more something like bigger. This is just a thought that I had for a long time, that Because I think there is something really, really strong, like in the Maori culture. And I think all people have something to learn in this.
Mm.
And that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I know that when the English came over, they tried to get rid of our language and get rid of our customs and not let us practice our traditional ways. And I can see that that's happened around the world as a way of disconnecting people from nature and disconnecting people from spirit and the ancestors. And when you get people not connected to nature and spirit and the ancestors, then they're easy to manipulate and they're easy to control. You know, they even try and keep us away from our own natural plant medicines and things like that. And if you're not connected to those, then you'll be more open to pharmaceuticals, which are not very good for us. So I'm not surprised to see that they've tried to disconnect people from Indigenous culture and Indigenous wisdom, because there's power there. And my opinion is the people in control, they want us to be powerful. They want us to be easy to control.
Yeah.
And they're doing it at the moment in this country. They're trying to pass a new law that will make a lot of natural, healthy foods illegal. Plants, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually contacted by a woman from New Zealand who told me that.
Hmm.
I mean, that's it's kind of horrific.
Oh, yeah. But not surprising as well. It's not surprising, but so yeah, if people are making a stand, that's a good thing to do a haka for. If you feel
yeah.
Go to the steps of parliament and do some haka about that.
Can you the traditional haka text? Would you like to share it with us?
Well, that's the thing. Some people think there is only one haka. There's many different haka.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the shoes, which one do you prefer?
Oh, we have haka that talk about how we got here on the different canoes that we traveled on. We have haka that talk about different elements of nature, different gods. We have haka that talk about sex. We're quite open about sexuality in our haka and in our performance and the way that we do our actions and the words we use. One haka that I've written recently over the last few years is a haka that speaks about mana wahine manata ne whakakotahi. And it talks about the power of feminine, the power of masculine, or the power of women, the power of men. It's time for us to unite and lift each other up, because for far too long the women were oppressed, and then sometimes now the women try and push the men down to try and get up. So this haka is very clearly about women and men, or our own masculine and feminine within us, uniting, lifting each other up. And talks about our mana. Mana is a big word. It's a big concept in the Maori culture, which is like personal power, integrity, even your aura, and looking after that, looking after your mana, not giving it away, not doing things that might diminish it. And if we do, then to lift yourself up again. But the main thing is to lift ourselves up and lift each other up. So that's the main haka that I'm teaching at the moment. And I created a haka that is very easy to learn. It has very powerful actions. It has very powerful words, but only a few words for people to learn. So that's the one that I'll be hoping to teach when I run this workshop with you guys.
Yeah.
Mm.
But there is this, if you buy like a cup in New Zealand, there is this haka text on.
Okay, that one. All right. Yeah. Okay, so we have this very famous haka, and that's the one that people thought was the only haka, because it's the one the New Zealand rugby team does before they play.
Yeah.
And rugby is very important over here. And that haka was just one haka that they chose from one tribe, and it was composed by a chief, and he was a warrior chief, and he was very good at what he did, which was war. And that was one way to get a lot of mana in those days. And he was a chief at the time where the Europeans arrived. So therefore he would trade, he would get his people to work flax, to make ropes, sell them, buy guns, go win wars, get slaves, get them to make flax, sell them, buy guns, win wars. And he was very powerful and he was very hated by a lot of people. His name was Te Rauparaha and he was from Ngāti Toa, Ngāti Toa people. And one day he got isolated in the bush and he was being chased by some people that were very angry and would definitely kill him if they caught him. So he went into a village and through his whakapapa, and that's the Māori word for genealogy, he said to the people of this village, look, here's my ancestry, there's your ancestry, we meet, we're connected, you're my cousins, please save me, these people are going to come and kill me if you don't. And they said, okay, but we heard that the people coming have got a matakite with them, and a matakite is someone who can see with their third eye, they can, so even if he hid really well, this person would find him using his magical powers. So the chief of that tribe, who was going to hide Te Rauparaha, said, okay, this is the best plan you got. Hide in that pit in the ground, in that hole where we store our sweet potato, and I will get my wife to sit over the entrance of that, and the food will help break down the magic powers of this mystical man, and the power of my wife sitting over the entrance will stop that as well. Now, this guy was a very powerful warrior chief, and for him to hide in a pit with food with a woman over the entrance was not the most powerful thing he could do as a warrior chief, but he needed to choose. Kamate, kamate, kaora, kaora. That's how the haka starts. To die or to live. He chose to live. So he jumps in the hole. This woman sits over the entrance. Now what's happening is the power of her womb, let's say, was so powerful that that was blocking the magic power of this matakite, the guy with the special powers. So they arrive and they're like, where is he? He's not here. We're sure he's here because our matakite said he came here. So the matakite is going, can't find him. And they leave and he's saved. And this is when he jumps out and he freestyles, he composes on the spot what becomes the most famous haka in the world. And he says, kamate, kamate, kaora, kaora, to die, to live, to live. Then he says, tenei te tangata puhuru, huru nā, nā itiki mai whakawhiti tērā, upane, kaupane, upane, kaupane, whiti tērā. And he says, it is the hairy person who made the sunshine. Rise up, make the sunshine. And what that says, what you'll see on those souvenir cups or the whatever you buy, the t-shirts in the souvenir shops, because we've been colonized, we're a little bit proper. What they'll say is, it was the bearded man who made the sunshine. Making the sunshine is another way of saying saved his life so that he could see the light of another day. But it wasn't the bearded man. Tēnei te tangata pūhuruhuru. This is the hairy person. That's what they're talking about in the haka. It wasn't the bearded man. They're talking about the pubic hair of the chief's wife. It was her pussy power that saved his life by her sitting over and using the power of her womb and her sex to stop them finding him. So there's a bit of a twist on the way that you would see that haka spoken about.
They don't tell you that.
They don't talk about that one because they're very British over here. Yeah. But as I said, traditionally, we were very upfront and very straightforward about life and all of its assets. Mm. Facets, I should say, assets. Yes. And that, the haka that the All Blacks do is actually only the beginning of it. There's actually a whole lot more that goes after it. It's a big long haka, that one. Actually, sorry, I got it the other way around. The All Blacks do the end of it. There's a big part that builds up to it. And that's just one.
Yeah, because that's also what, when you look for the haka, either it's people who kind of, it's not so, you don't find it very traditional. I mean, it's traditional, but it's most... mostly rugby players you find on the internet.
Yes, unfortunately. I'll give you a word to put in. Yeah? I'll give you a word to put in later on that is a good word to search. So it's T-E, which is te, and then the next word is M-A-T-A, T-I-N-I, Te Matatini. Te Matatini is the name of our national haka competition. So if you type that in, you'll see the real thing. And it won't be rugby players who are really good at rugby but not so good at doing the haka. Yeah.
I've been doing my search. So I don't look at the rugby players dance doing the haka, but like the first 10 who pops up.
Yeah.
But if you come from a place where you don't know any haka, so what can the haka give me?
Oh, if you learn it.
Yeah.
Like if you were to learn the one that I'm keen to teach you, then it'll give you a taste of what it means to be a haka warrior. It'll give you a taste of the language and how it feels to have the language come through you. And when you haka, you need to be in a warrior mode. There's no laughing, there's no smiling, there's no being nice, there's no being trying to be have people like you. And that's one of the benefits straight away of doing haka, is quite often we want people to like us and we aren't our true authentic self and we put on a mask. But when you haka, you tear the mask off and you say, this is my dark destroyer energy, this is my badass, this is my warrior, and if you don't like it, I don't care, this is who I am. And you have to get into that attitude and you have this sort of face when we haka. And it's not trying to be pretty. It's not trying to be cool. It's being fierce and wild, but there's a control there. And that's one of the thing that makes power a haka really powerful, is you must be in control. You must stay slow. It's really easy to get excited, all this adrenaline and fire and energy in your body. But if you get too excited, you go fast and then you lose control. You lose your timing and you make a mess. And there's also a likening, a similarity between haka and sex. And that's also about being in control, being slow, not rushing it. So a good haka warrior is usually a good lover as well, and vice versa.
So it's another twist.
Yeah, there's so much there. There's so much more than what we usually think.
Yeah, but there's so much in this, but since we actually are speaking, can we just leave the haka for a little while? Because there's so much going on in New Zealand, I mean, in the world, but especially in New Zealand at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about all the floods.
Yeah, we just got hit by some big storm, a big cyclone just came through and it tore up the east coast of the North Island and washed out a lot of our roads and our bridges. And there's a lot of cleaning up to do, and the government is playing it down. This is where we get into the topics that might have this message, this video taken down. But I'll do my best to be down the middle with this one. So, yeah, there's, unfortunately, it's also the part of the country that produces a lot of our food. And food's already becoming scarce over here and it's getting really, really expensive. And now it's going to get more and more scarce and more expensive to feed people. And because a lot of people aren't there and because the news isn't showing what's really going on, people just think it was just not that bad. But we know people that are there are saying it's like a war zone in there and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people dead. And the news is telling us that there's only been 10 people dead. But if you look at the carnage and you look at the scenes, then you'll see that that's not the truth. So we're not sure why the government is lying to us, but they have been lying to us a lot recently in the last few years. And the other thing I want to say is there's some pretty clear evidence that not just in this country, but all around the world, the weather has been manipulated. So it does look like this could be our government's trying to convince us that there's all this global climate change going on and we need to give away more freedoms and be taxed for climate and all the rest of it. But it just looks like another way of controlling people and making us hungry and wiping us out, unfortunately. But that's what we're dealing with in this country. And it's one thing to be locked down and mandated to take these experimental vaccines. But it's another one when they're actually getting your house washed away in a flood and you can't get food and you can't get to down the road to support your neighbors. So yeah, life is pretty freaky over here and we're doing our best to support each other and stay informed and grow whatever food we can and keep ourselves safe. And that's why Haka has been a really good tool for me, because there are many days where I wake up and I feel anxiety and I feel stressed and I feel anger. And this is one of the ways that I release that tension and also build my strength to continue to speak out and to support people and be a voice.
Yeah. I had the same thought that this it must be fantastic to do the Haka in a situation like this.
Hmm.
And I seen pictures. I saw a lot of films from New Zealand, and it doesn't look good.
Mm.
And we don't hear anything about it here.
Mm. Nah, there's so much going on in so many countries with the weather these days, and unfortunately, they've been manipulating the weather for a very long time.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Something else I'd like to talk about is I recently got my tāmoko done. Yeah. And so this is called tāmoko. Tāmoko is when we get tattoos on our bodies, and I've got them on a lot of my body. But, you know, these parts of me can be covered up, and I'm so proud of my Māori culture that I chose just a month ago to get my mata ora done. And mata ora is the name for when a man gets it on his face. You might have seen a Māori woman, they have it on their chin, which I think is one of the most beautiful things you can have as a woman, is a tattoo on your chin. And that's in my opinion. Quite often a Māori man will get his whole face done, but I'm just starting with my forehead. And these are my leadership lines. This here is a symbol of a hammerhead shark in the middle, which is a symbol of one of my main tribes that I'm part of. We have a lot of these, which is a symbol of strength, because a hammerhead shark is very strong. These are called ipurangi. Oh, it's really hard to point when I'm back to front. Anyway, ipurangi is like these vessels, and this is where I download wisdom into these spaces up here. And this is a way of me being proud of my culture. This is a way of me keeping this art form alive. This is also about honoring women. That's a big part of my journey in this lifetime, is to learn and to promote to other men, in particular to honor women. And the first story of one of our ancestors getting this was when he went into the underworld and he got it done by the king of the underworld, so that he could honor the woman that he had not been honoring. And then he brought this art form back up into the world. So when Māori men wear this, it's a sign of honoring women. And also honoring the fact that when the Europeans came here, this was what a lot of chiefs would wear over their face. And then the Europeans made them stop, and the men stopped wearing this, but a lot of women kept doing it. So the women were the ones that kept the art form alive. So this is a way for me to honor the woman that kept it alive and to do my part to keep this art form healthy and alive and out there in the world. Mm. So I just wanted to speak to my new mata ora while I was on this call with you, sister.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I just saw you the other day with this new tattoo, and it's fantastic.
Mm.
And I'm so glad you actually tell us about it.
Yeah, just in case people were going, what's he got on his face? Because I'm sure it's not that normal.
Was this something that grew up? It grew inside of you for a long time, or was it?
Yeah, it was coming for a long time. I've had other tattoos on my body for many, many years, and I knew that this was where I was heading eventually, especially as a leader. So it was just waiting until it felt right, and then all of a sudden last year with everything that was going on, it felt like the right time, so I just got it done. But the same man that's done all my other work, which felt really good. I'm so glad he still works and does it. So good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. So when will we have this? we can find a date later on, but it will be fantastic to do this Hakka online with you. And like you say, we're planning it to do it in a group here in Sweden to feel the energy.
Yes, I think that's the best way to do it. And I've done that as well in other parts of the world where people gather in a big room and they get a big screen up on the wall and a big speaker so that I can zoom in from the other side of the planet so that everybody can feel each other's voices. I think it would be good to also stream it out to other people that can't be there in person so they can be part of it as well. I feel it would be good to do it within the next month. I do have to go on tour on Wednesday and I'll be away for 3 weeks. But when I get back, I'd be really keen to dive into that and to share. I'm really excited to share with the family over there in Sweden. I've never been to Sweden before, so it'd be really lovely to connect.
Yeah. And this time it will be the other way around. We're doing it in daytime and you'll be there.
In the nighttime.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I can do that for years. Yeah.
Fantastic. And yeah. So now just before when you talked about the weather, I was trying to think of how to talk about that without having this video taken down. So it's not like I'm a stranger to what you're talking about.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, most of what I said is very evidence-based. It's all provable, so it's not like a conspiracy.
We have a lot of stations, harp stations in Sweden. I think we have two. So, and you can easily find it on the internet. So,
Yeah. So we're not making this stuff up.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's very sad. But that's why you are teaching us the Hakka, so we can find our power.
Yeah.
To stand in our power and stand against all the
corruption.
Corruption.
Yeah. Thank you, Zoya. Thank you for bringing my voice to your side of the world. Thank you for staying up. Thank you for your perseverance and thank you for your commitment to helping organize and set this beautiful gathering up where I can zoom in and we can do the work.
Yeah. Thank you and have a fantastic Saturday.
Yes.
I guess it's sunny there.
Well, thanks to the weather manipulation, it's a bit cloudy and rainy and stuff outside, but I'm still going to get out there.
Do that. And I wish you a fantastic day, Matthew.
Yeah, good health to you, sister. And greetings to everybody over there. And if you're interested in checking out some of my other stuff, you can come to my website, which is rainbowwarrior.nz.
Yeah, that's I will put it in the link. Okay.
How do I say thank you in your language?
Tack så mycket.
Say that again.
Tack så mycket. Eller tack.
Tack. Le tack. Le tack.
Nej, tack. Tack.
Tack.
Yes.
Le tack. Le tack så mycket.
Tack så mycket. Okej. Okay. Bye bye. Okay.
Aroha nui. Kia ora.
Bye.
How do I get